How about these last couple of days? I'm not sure what it was like here this past week, but a little farther north in Suwanee, Tennessee, where Tom and I spent a few days, the weather was downright nasty. The temperature during the day hovered between the upper 40s and lower 50s, and it was gray and frequently rainy. Nothing at all about the weather would have given any hint that it was Easter week, a time of great joy and celebration. If the weather were any indicator of the week in church terms, it would have most certainly been Holy Week. But even so, Holy Week leads to Easter, and we return home to Easter weather indeed, pollen and all. The trees are laced with foliage and even blooms. The weeds in what should be a lawn around our house are blooming and growing well above the would-be grass. The sun is shining and the temperatures are rising and everything seems hopeful and new. There is no coincidence that this is the time of year in which Easter falls. Easter is about something new. Our gospel reading begins today with the words, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" The entirety of this reading is so thoughtful and thought-provoking that it might be easy to disregard or overlook the weight of what is said in this first verse. Thomas's absence at the time of Jesus' return and his subsequent need for assurance have lassoed our attention so that the rest of this reading tends to be overlooked or even ignored. Certainly, the interchange and relationship between Thomas and the risen Lord are important, but each moment of this passage is heavy with meaning that deserves our attention. Remember that the Gospel of John is thought to be the latest of the Gospels by far. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke tend to tell us, or specific groups in their time frame, about the life and teaching of Jesus, John wants to tell us what that life and teaching means. He doesn't begin with a birth narrative that includes wise men or shepherds or angels or crazy kings. John begins in the beginning, the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is how John begins his gospel. That introduction is huge theologically, but doesn't preach out at all as well on a Christmas Eve service. Keeping that beginning in mind, our ears should perk up when we hear the opening of this passage about Christ's resurrection. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week. Wait, the first day of the week? Wasn't it just last Saturday evening that we heard about the first day? The very first day? Does John want to take our minds back to the very first day, since he wanted to connect Jesus as the Word that was with God since the very beginning? What was happening on that very first day? Here's what Genesis has to say. "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the earth, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." That's what John wants us to think about when he writes, "It was evening on that day, the first day of the week." He wants the first creation to come rushing to our minds for us to realize then that this whole event, this crucifixion and resurrection, is the act of new creation. In this event, all things are recreated. Everything is made new. For John and for us, this is important. This has been a very busy first day of the week in the new creation. Unfortunately, in a theological context at least, we never have the entirety of the 20th chapter of John's Gospel read. In a practical sense, most of us will tune out about halfway through or earlier because there is so much information, and we are in church after all. And since we don't ever have the entirety of the first day read, let me give you the Reader's Digest or Cliff Notes, or if you're a little more current, Spark Notes version of John's description of all that has happened on this one day, this first day, not third day. Early on this day, the first day, when it's still dark, Mary Magdalene goes to anoint the body. She finds there is no body and runs back to tell Peter and John. He refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved, but that's for another sermon. The two guys race back to the tomb, and John wins the race, of course, because he's the one telling the story. John initially hangs back and doesn't go in, but Peter does, and he finds it just as the women have described. No surprise. Here's the first really intriguing piece. They return to their homes. Jesus' body is missing, and the guys go home. Fair weather friends they are. All they can think of is their own safety and security. Mary, though, doesn't leave. She stays and sobs, and in her sadness and grief, she sees two angels who state the obvious. He ain't here. And then she encounters Jesus, who is at first unknown to her. In her grief and sorrow, Mary doubts. And in her doubting, her vision is clouded. She cannot imagine the unimaginable, that he is risen. Once Jesus opens her eyes to that reality, she runs to tell the disciples, who are all now holed up in fear. This has been a very busy day, with a lot of running back and forth, a day filled with doubt and disbelief. If there had been less doubting and disbelief, then there would have been less running back and forth. How much time was wasted in doubt? How much energy was wasted in disbelief? The events of this whole first day would have gone so much more smoothly if the followers of Jesus had just trusted and believed what he had told them. But they couldn't. Or could they? Was it just a matter of deciding to believe? How many lepers had he healed? How many blind had their sight restored? And what about feeding the multitudes, 5,000 and more? Lame walk, demons left time and again, and then there's that bit with Lazarus, who was raised after 4 days dead. Could they not possibly have believed that he too would do what he said, be raised? Why is it so hard to believe that something good can come out of something bad? And so easy to believe that something bad can come out of something good? Why is it that we are so mistrusting? Why is it not easier to believe? Last week, when it was cold and rainy and foggy and miserable, I was outside with two dogs on leashes, and it was easy to believe that spring would never, ever come. That this year it just wouldn't happen. I knew better. But there was still this nagging doubt. Doubt is easier than faith. That's why we have days like these that are glorious and beautiful and full of hope, so that we will be reminded who is in charge. the God who on the very first day brought light out of darkness, and on that second first day brought life out of death. Thank God for spring. Thank God for the first day. Amen.